Good morning. Welcome once again to the Open Door Baptist Church, the Tuesday morning men's prayer breakfast, February the 14th, 2012, or Valentine's Day. Today's devotion is going to be in the book of Ephesians. I'm going to start out a little bit in chapter 1 just to get you in the mind of where we're going here, and want to end up in chapter 2. I'll just start off by reading the first 8 verses or so of chapter 1. Paul, the apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Jesus Christ. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him, before the foundation of the world. He chose us a long time before we ever got here, didn't he? Praise the Lord. That we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace. I'm thinking that, go back up there to verse 4, it says he has chosen us. And then to verse 6, to the praise of the glory, isn't it, of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. And the beloved being his son, wasn't it? Verse 7, in whom we have redemption, through his blood we have deliverance and salvation, through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Boy, where would we be without that? His amazing saving grace, wherein he hath abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence. Wisdom and carefulness. Okay, now we're going to jump to chapter 2. And I have a little text for chapter 2. It comes from Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. He got us here, all here on top of the ground, walking around for something, mainly for his purpose, what Scripture says. He's keeping us here to fulfill his purpose. Chapter 2, the title of today's message just may sound a little familiar. Change is on the way. Okay. A new life with Christ is changing from our lives before Jesus saved our souls. Chapter 2, verse 1, and you, We can write our name in right there, can't we? And me, he hath quickened. He hath made alive who were. We remember the time when we were dead in trespasses and sins, can't we? Long time before we got saved. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness in their heart. Remember those days, don't we? Also Romans 3:23, everybody has sinned. All has sinned and come short of the glory of God. Wherein in times past, in the times before we got saved, we walked according to the course of the world, didn't we? We was running with the devil, so to speak, according to the prince of the power of the air. The spirit now worketh in the children of disobedience, and the unbelievers, the ones that go against God's purpose. Colossians 1:21, and now that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. Hath the Lord reconciled us. Ephesians 6:12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Amen. Up there with the devil and all his crowd, the devil and his angels, we see we're fighting the rulers and the authorities of the world. Ephesians 4:27 says, neither give place to the devil. The way that we do that, we need to keep right in here, don't we? We need to keep in our Bible. We need to keep praying. We need to keep loving God, especially. We need to remain in the church activities and the like, and certainly that'll begin to help us. Stand up against the give place, stand up against the devil in that way. 1 John 5:19, and we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. We can see that every day, can't we? John 12:31, now the judgment of this world, now shall the prince of the world be cast out. Prince of the world, of course, is Satan. Pardon me, 1 Corinthians 6. And such were some of you, but ye are washed. Thank you, Lord. But now we are sanctified, aren't we? But ye are justified in the name of the Lord and by the Spirit of our God. That was a long time ago. That was then. This is now. That was in our other life, wasn't it? Thank you, Lord. Verse 3, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of the flesh, our old lifestyle, fulfilling the desires of the flesh, weren't we? Yeah. Oh, my. And of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Philippians 3:3, for we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Jesus Christ and have no confidence in the flesh. Flesh will disappoint you every time, won't it? Certainly don't put any confidence in the flesh. 1 Peter 4, for in times past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, which we walked in lasciviousness, sensuality, lust, excess of wine, revilings, revelings, banquetings, that partying, abominable idolatries, evil idolatries. Certainly thankful to God we don't do that no more, do we? Praise God, them days are gone, ain't they? Galatians 5:16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. We need to keep our, as we say in the 21st century, we need to keep our focus in the Spirit, don't we? And ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Psalms 51, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Verse 4. Oh boy, look, come in here. And we were by nature children of wrath, even as others. But God, my favorite phrase, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us. But God, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. Well, like we do sometimes. And, he has not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. But what if he did? What if he were to say, I know that I once upon a time I saved you, but you know, I remember that time that you. And the more I think about that, I believe I better rethink your salvation. I don't, every time I think about that, that just aggravates me to no end. I better rethink your salvation. I don't. Ain't we glad you don't do that? Thank you, Jesus, for now. He has not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens is high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards them that fear him, that reverently and worshipfully fear him, by the way. and of course, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Perish, we know this. Usually, if someone perishes, it's usually a tragic death. There's some suffering going on in there, isn't it? It's not when you perish, you just don't go to sleep and not wake up. It's usually something terrible has happened in it. But Scripture says that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. 1 John 4:10, herein is love, not that we love God, but he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins, the sacrifice for our sins, the payment for our sins, didn't he? Even when we were dead in sin, verse 5, he has quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye are saved. For his grace and his favor and his mercy we don't deserve, but we'll get it anyway, don't we? Thank you, Lord. He made us alive with Christ. By grace are you saved. Romans 5:8, but God, here we are again, but God commanded his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Thank you, Lord. He didn't have to, but he did, didn't he? Ephesians 1:7 to go with this, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. By the way, it said, even when we were dead in sin, he's talking about spiritual death. Obviously, the state of the natural man that's still in his sins, separated from God, and God's life, lacking of the Spirit, eternal separation from God is spiritual death. Revelation 2:11, he that hath an ear, let him hear that what the Spirit says unto the churches, he that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. If we get saved, you won't have to go through that, don't we? Amen. Verse 6, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Titus 3, but after that the kindness and the love of God our Savior towards man appeared. verse 8 again. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. Man can't take credit for that, can he? Some of them may try to, but this tells us right here that it's a gift from God. It's nothing we can do to take the credit for that. It's the gift of God. 2 Timothy 1, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Amen. Ephesians 3:12, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by faith of him. John 1:12, but as many as receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Verse 13 says, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. Amen. Verse 9, not of works, lest any man should boast. Again, man can't take credit for this, because verse 8, by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And if by grace, then, it's Romans 11:6. If by grace, then is it no more works? Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then is it no more grace? Otherwise, work is no more work. Verse 10, for we are his workmanship, his handiwork, created in Jesus Christ into good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. Ephesians 4:24, let me read that for you. And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. John 3:3, Jesus answered and said unto him, Nicodemus, very, verily I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. We remember that story of Nicodemus asking him, could he go back into his mother's womb? Certainly not. Had to be born again to get into heaven. God don't take no dead folks in heaven, does he? Only those who are born again. Psalms 31, oh, how great is thy goodness which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee. Well, they give something to look forward to. Which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of man. Verse 11, wherefore, remember that ye, being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcised, by that which is called by the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being alienated from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in this world. When we was running with the devil, we didn't have no hope, did we? But now, in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Yes, indeed. Amen. Ephesians 5:2, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Sweet-smelling aroma. Hebrews 10:18, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Thank you, Lord. Verse 14, for he is our peace, isn't he? Thank you, Lord, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall or partition between us, talking about the Jews and the Gentiles here. And this man shall be the peace, and he shall stand and feed in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord God, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself twain, two, one new man, so making peace. Galatians 3:23. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Colossians 1:22. In the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his spirit. Galatians 6. For without Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. He's saying that don't, uncircumcised or circumcised, it don't matter. What does matter is that we're a new creature in Christ, doesn't it? That's what matters. Amen. Verse 16, and that he might reconcile both unto God and in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity. Enmity in this case means hatred, thereby. It's still a cross, isn't it, according to verse 16. And he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. Knowing this, that our old man, who we were before we were saved in our other lives, so to speak, our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Amen. Them days is gone, ain't they? Them days is behind us, isn't it? Verse 17, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh, far and near. Remember back from our Genesis Bible study, Genesis 12:3. I will bless them that bless thee, curse them that curse thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. That's some pretty good security, ain't it? 24/7, 365 security right there. Psalm 148, he also exalted the horn of his people, the praise of all his saints, even the children of Israel, a people near to him. Verse 18, about done here. For through him we both have access by one spirit unto the Father. We can approach him anytime. We don't need anybody to speak for us, do we? We can approach any time. Thank you, Lord, for that direct access. Ephesians 3:16, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Verse 19, now, therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Amen. Oh, boy. That's wonderful. We're no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. To the General Assembly and Church, his own church, God's church, Church of the Firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of all just men made perfect, citizens of heaven, Philippians 3:20, for our conversation is in heaven. Our new lifestyle is makes us citizens of heaven, doesn't it? From which also We look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, while we patiently but eagerly, I guess you can do that, patient and eager. In this case, patient and eager as we look for the Lord, the Lord's return. Galatians 6:10, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, not just the ones you want to, all of them, what it says, especially unto them who are of the household of faith, especially at our brothers, the Christians anyway. But it says to all men, doesn't it, not just Christians. Verse 20. Let me read 19 again. Now, therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints in the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the cornerstone. 1 Corinthians 3:11, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. The foundation, I'm sure the pastor, you can tell us in your days before when you was a brick mason, the cornerstone is the most important stone in a building, isn't it? The rest of the building is built around the cornerstone, isn't it? 1 Peter 2:4, to whom concerning as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Psalms 118:22, the stone which the builders refused has become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. Colossians 1:11, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering and joyfulness. Verse 21, just about done. In whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into a holy temple unto the Lord, in the Lord. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? Well, we don't need to forget that, do we? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy. Which temple ye are, that means the temple of God is holy. We are holy too, isn't it? 22, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into a holy temple of the Lord, in whom ye are also builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. I in them, thou in me. That, of course, this is Jesus talking. That he may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and thou hast loved them as thou hast loved me. John 14, Jesus answered and said unto them, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Amen. Finally. At one time, long ago, hopefully, we was all wallowing around, so to speak, in our old sinful lifestyle. The scriptures here just read called it our old man, doesn't it? That's who it was before we got saved. We was kind of running with the devil. We was serving the devil. We was letting him tell us what to do and. We did what we wanted to, when we wanted to, didn't have to ask nobody anything, but we did what we wanted to, when we wanted to, you know. But the scriptures tell us that, just read it a minute ago, while we was out there doing that, Jesus still loved us, didn't he? While we were yet sinners, He died for us. But here again, it's one of them, but God, through His grace and mercy, He took our old sinful lives and quickened us. He made us alive again, didn't we? We were dead in our sins, and He made us alive again. Scripture says, just read in verse 14, He is our peace now. Jesus is our peace now. Verse 19, we are no more strangers and foreigners, but we are fellow citizens with the saints. Built on the foundations of the apostles and the prophets. With Jesus Christ, of course, being the cornerstone. He's the one that holds it all together, isn't it? And all this grows into a holy temple. We just read the last couple of verses. This grows into a holy temple of the Lord, isn't it? The word of the Lord.